So we have the harvest service taking place this morning, and the particular theme that we are focusing on is about generosity and sharing versus scarcity. So scarcity being that fear that there isn't enough, there isn't enough for me, versus the generosity and sharing theme. So we've been talking about the parable of the talents. That's what this talents fundraiser has been centered around, this parable that Jesus shared, where it was about a master who entrusted a really big sum of money to three of his servants, left this massive amount with them for them to look after. And we might know this story, but two of them took that money and they invested it, used it wisely, and then returned it to the master, where it actually multiplied and grown by them using that money and putting it in the right places. Whereas there was one who says, I know you are a mean man, you're a mean master, and actually I was too afraid of losing this money, so I just buried it in the ground and then brought it back to you, and it's the same amount as before. And the master is absolutely devastated with this, and it's kind of this theme of generosity versus scarcity. That last person was just really scared about losing what money he had. So we are going to be reflecting further on that theme with a couple of illustrations centered around some other really significant parts of the Bible, because the Bible is full of this theme about generosity and sharing, and also that in relation to scarcity as well. So I'm just going to invite, if some kids would like to come up, it does involve chocolates. So if anyone wants to come up, some volunteers, we need a good handful of volunteers to come up. So would any of you guys like to come up? Anyone at all? It'd be great to have a few of you. Jamie could be one of them, he's a kid at heart. A few more people. Would any of you guys possibly like the chance of getting some chocolate? Yeah? I thought so. So I wonder if one of you could read, if we could just have the screen back up, please, Paul, for the laptop. I wonder if one of you guys would be up for reading what it says on the screen. Is anyone up for doing that?
What? I have come that many may live and have it to full.
The full, that is brilliant. Thank you very much for that. Well done. Round of applause. Yes, so Jesus shared this with his disciples. He said, I came that they may have life and have it to the full. In some other versions, it says, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly as well. So lots and lots and lots of it. So God wants us to actually enjoy our lives, to where life can feel complete, where life can feel worth living as well. We have this idea that God doesn't actually want us to have fun. The church doesn't want us to have fun. But actually, this is what Jesus is saying here. He's saying that actually he wants everyone to experience life in all its fullness, to live a rich life, and for our lives to be better, not worse. So what are some of the things that we love in our lives? They could be big things, they could be small things. If people just want to shout them out, that would be great. Yeah, hope. Chocolate. Oh, that is a very good answer. What are some of the other things that we love?
Flowers.
Flowers, yeah. Hope again.
Me.
You? That's really good. Love ourselves, that is really important. Some other things, yeah.
Music.
Yeah, brilliant. Family, yeah. What other things do we love?
Cooking.
Yeah?
Friends.
Oh, that's great. We there's so many things in our lives that we love, and it was actually really helpful that Hope came up with the first answer of chocolate. Hope, I wonder if you would be up for coming up here, if that's okay. Because what I'm going to show as an illustration is life to the full, life in abundance. So we're just going to do this. So Hope, if you could just hold out your hands in a cup like that. Brilliant. So what I'm going to do here is going to give hope, life to the full. So we're just going to pop that in there. We're just going to make sure you don't drop any. Right. So hope currently has life to the full. You can't really fit much more in there. It is completely full. So if you could just keep hold of that for the moment, hope. So actually, in the Bible, when Jesus says, have life and have it to the full or have it to abundance, in the original Greek, which is the original language that was written in, are you doing okay there? Yeah. I bet you want them all, don't you? So the original language for the word full or abundance is this Greek word called perissos. Can we all say perissos? Great, you're experts in ancient Greek now. So perissos, if it's actually directly translated, it doesn't just mean full or even abundance, it means overflow. So actually, what Jesus is saying there is that I came that you may have life to the overflow. So what does that look like for Hope if she has life to the overflow? I wonder.
Too much chocolate.
So if we start doing this, so Hope is getting life to the overflow. Yeah?
Yay.
But actually, Hope's managed to get a little bit more on there because it wasn't quite full. But look at all of this. This has all just gone to waste, which is a bit strange that Jesus might be saying you can have life to the overflow, but actually you have more life than you actually need. Hope doesn't need all of this. Well, maybe you feel like you do, but if you want to pop them back in there for the moment, you will get more in just a moment's time. So, Hope, if you could just come back up here, that would be great. Thank you. It's not finished yet. So, Hope had it to the overflow, but actually, why would Jesus be saying that actually all of this life would get wasted? Actually, I think it might be about something else. So if we could just quickly get all of these back in, and anyone who wants to join in the hope of potentially getting some chocolate, if you want to come up as well. And Hope, if you could just stand up again and do the same as before. And then if you other guys could come and crouch around Hope and hold out your hands as well, yeah? Hope, if you hold out your hands like that, and then if you guys want to come around, so you can come around this side as well. If you squeeze round, we can fit a few more in. Yeah, that's brilliant. And if you hold your hands below Hope's, yeah?
Catch my leftovers.
Brilliant. Yeah, you're getting the idea. Okay, so, you ready?
Yes.
So this is Hope getting life to the overflow. Brilliant. So what happened there? What happened there? It was that actually what Hope got, the life that filled up Hope, it overflowed, and it overflowed into the hands of the other kids as well. So you guys can actually, before you go and sit down, I wonder if you could take some more.
Yeah.
And take them round to everyone in the church. Shall we do that? So if you could all take a box, and if you could take them round to people in the church, that would be great. Yeah, please do. Great. And we're going to go and give these round to people. Yeah?
Can I take a box?
Yeah, you can take a box. Oh, there you go. Give them round to everyone. That's great. So, when we really know Jesus, and we seek to follow Jesus, and we seek to welcome in the life that Jesus brings us. He doesn't just fill us to the full. What Jesus is saying there is that it overflows, and it doesn't just go to waste when it overflows, but actually what Jesus wants us to do is to share that with those around us. So hopefully that is what you're experiencing now. It's when we experience life in all its fullness, we actually want to share that with others. It can be quite easy for us to just try and keep that life to ourselves, but actually Jesus wants us to share that, for us to be generous with those around us, because God loves every single one of us. So I hope you enjoy your chocolates.
So my little bit, Just a quick reminder what we were talking about last time. Frames. Like Nick was saying earlier, you know, especially it seems weird at a time like now where there's so much talk in the media about, you know, things being difficult and cost of living crisis and worries about our mortgage or our pensions and that sort of thing. But I want to remind you what we were talking about last week. What frame are we going to picture life through? Do we have a frame that is about scarcity, that God's love is scarce, that there isn't enough of the pie to go around, so I've got to kind of fight and throw my elbows to get my piece of the pie? Or do we have a vision, a picture of God that is rooted in his abundance and his generous and his overflowing love, like we've just seen? And I wonder if that kind of attitude, and in sort of keeping with the theme that we've been exploring, we're starting to explore in this new series, I wonder if that attitude of scarcity... Never give chocolates out, it's just chaos from there. I wonder if that attitude of scarcity can also be seen in how we view one another, how we see the church. So I've got another little illustration. It's a family service, so I always bring a strong rope with me. That's just, you know, something I've learned over the years. I'm going to need some helpers. Any youth or young people who can just help me with this rope? Can you guys, cheers guys. There's too much hilarity over there. This is church. What are you talking about? Right, what we need to do, if you can... Oh, I've made a knot of it now. Let's try and make it a knot. Oops. There we are. So we're going to try and make it a big, long line. Right. Oh, hello. See, I've made a mess of it now, haven't I?
Oh, David.
Sorry. I'm not... Well done, boys. We might need a few more people, actually, but you guys, that's a good start. So... Right, what we're going to do is, if you can you make a loop with the rope? So one of you hold both ends, and two of you sort of get on corners to try and make a loop. Thanks, yeah, we need another helper. If you can grab a bit of rope, and we're going to try and spread it out in a big circle. All right? Woody, if you want to come over here. Let's go over here. Now, what I want you to do is put this loop to encompass. If you join the two ends together, that's it. Make a loop to encompass. Who should we try and include in our circle? We've got a little circle here. This rope is like a boundary. Follow me, boys. Follow me. We're going this way. Walk this way. Scott, if you go around the other side, So, and if there's anyone you don't like the look of, just loop it around their head. No, that's health and safety. Sorry. Keep going, Scott. We're going to come this way. Now, this rope means... We can have some people inside the rope, yeah. See, I'm going to keep Claire on the outside, but Elisa on the inside. Who are we going to... So we can include all this lot, can't we? Yeah, well done. Thanks, Sir Fiddly. You can be the flexible link. So you lot, hands up if you're inside the rope. You are inside the boundary. So this is one way you can make a group. You can make a group by creating a boundary. That's what we've done here. You've just ducked inside. That's really good. That's cool. You can jump inside too. If you want to be inside the group, you've got to be under the barrier, haven't you? Alan, you want to be inside the group, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, go on then. You've got to get under the barrier. If you want to be part of the group, you've got to get inside the boundary. This is what they call a boundaried group. So the boundary makes the group. Now, how have we made this group? Why have we chosen for the boundary? Because the boundary could have been... Sorry, Elisa. Just think you're a bit dodgy. So... And Claire's brilliant. So Claire's in, Elisa's out. I've just moved the boundary. Why have I done that? How have I done that? All sorts of... She's put her foot in. She's breaking the rules already. There's always one, isn't there? So this is one way to make a group. We can create a boundary, and we've got insiders and outsiders. You're either in or you're out. How do you make the boundary? That could be all sorts of reasons. So if we're talking about church, it could be, well, you know, have you been baptized? Have you said the prayer? Well, that's great. That's all brilliant stuff to do. But is that it? Is that what really makes the boundary? Why don't we move the... Let's move the boundary. This looks a bit dodgy. So what we're going to do, if we lift up our rope, and we're going to go and get some other people in, because... Keep going, mind your heads, mind your glasses. Oh, I don't know about this lot here. No, I'm not so sure, actually. We're going to get... Let's have these good-looking people at the back here. How about that? We can move the boundary. We can move the terms. We can make a group like this, and we end up with insiders and outsiders. So you lot, you used to be insiders, now you're outsiders. How do you feel? You feel neglected? Of course you do. So you know where I'm going with this. I bet you know where I'm going with this. How do we, is this a good way to make, I mean, it's a perfectly acceptable way to make a group. You make a boundary, you make a rule, and you say there are some people in and there are some people who are out. How do we feel being on the outside? It's not fair. It's not fair. Richard's in tears, bless him. How do we feel being on the inside? Now, when we're thinking about church, you see, if we make a nice simple rule, and we can define the rule different ways, but if we make a nice simple rule on your inside, you can actually start to feel a little bit complacent, can't you? You think, I'm an insider, I'm feeling pretty good. Now, maybe, why are you an insider? Maybe it was where you were born, maybe it was how you were brought up, maybe it was all sorts of reasons, but you're inside, and actually it doesn't really challenge you to move forward. You can feel complacent. You might even, I mean, Dave, how do you feel about the people who are outside the rope?
Not as good as us, are they?
Well, then clearly they're not. Thank you. Perfect illustration. It can be easy to feel judgmental. It can be easy to feel complacent. That's one. So this is one way to make a group. You know, it has pros, it has cons. Okay, thanks, guys. Can you put the rope away now? Now, I have a second way that you can make a group, and this involves everyone. If you are able, don't worry, if you'd rather sit down, if you have trouble standing, don't worry. But if you're able to stand, can you please stand up? Thank you very much. Now, this is the complicated part. Are you ready? Without making yourselves dizzy, I want you to turn around as many times as you like, and I want you to face in a random direction in the hall. So just turn around a couple of times, just to free yourself up a little bit, and then just face something. You might want to look at Paul at the back here. Paul's a good-looking man. You might want to look at Stuart. Wave, Stuart. Baptised last week. You survived. Still here, still with us, that's good. You might want to look over at the speaker over there. Alan, wave to me. You might want to look at Alan. You might want to look at the, you might want to spin too much, you make yourself sick. You might want to look at the lovely French doors there and look out there. So we're all looking in different directions, correct? Okay, brilliant. We're all heading, we're all looking in different directions. And then somewhere comes, here, Scott, you can help me with this. I want you to stand, put that cross high in the air. Would you believe it's a homemade cross? Did that all by myself. Nice and tall, nice and high. Now, this is what we call a centered group. There are some of you who are looking or heading towards this point, this center of the group, which is the cross. There are some of us which are heading other ways. Amanda, you're going the other way, aren't you? Very dodgy. Now, you might be far away. Look at Bridget. Bridget is right at the back here. She's quite a long way away, but she's looking, well, she was kind of, she's looking near to the cross. So even though you're far away, you're heading in the right direction. You're heading towards Jesus. On the other hand, Ian, dodgy character, he's really close. He's really close to the cross, but he's actually looking in the wrong direction. Now, can we apply that to our lives? You might have been born and raised in a church setting, but if you're heading in the wrong direction, that's not doing you any good. That's something you need to be aware of, and you need to turn around. Interesting, that word for turn around is repentance. You could be far away for all sorts of circumstances. It's easy to be, I mean, because often, if when we talk about the boundary, talk about the group, often what makes the boundary in actual fact is our behaviour. You live a certain way, you have a certain sort of background, you haven't been married too many times, oops, you haven't had any of these sorts of issues. It's those sorts of things that tend to make the boundary. But when we're heading towards Jesus, the boundary isn't important. What's important is the direction of travel. We can be far away for all sorts of reasons. You could be far away, but you've caught a glimpse of the cross and you're heading towards the cross. Or you're right close up, but for whatever reason, you're heading in the wrong direction. I think this is a much better way to think about how we make a community of faith, how we make a church community. Because the emphasis, the question isn't, are you in or are you out? The question is, where are you heading? And you can join in that journey with anyone, and you can encourage one another on that journey. Two different ways to make a group. I wonder what you think is the best way forward. Anyway, you can turn around now. Big round of applause for Scott for holding that. His arm is exhausted.